Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, otherwise I'll be very lonely. I might pout, suck my thumb, go find a safe space. You know how that goes. Anyway, thanks for being with us here. It's already 9:06 on this Monday morning, so I guess we've got a lot of the rush hour out of the way. Look, a lot of you who were planning to be somewhere like at work at 9, okay, you didn't make it. Live with it, all right? Because live is the operative word here. Just be careful. Please be careful. Jim Bohannon sitting in for Tara today at 106.3 WORD. Lee Rogers, of course, handling things over there in the news booth. And I was mentioning to the public, I just kind of wanted your take on this as well, Lee.
Okay.
A Vermont state senator, a Democrat, surprisingly enough, has proposed a bill which would ban cell phone use or ownership for those under 21. Now, he admits that that's not going to be passed. He's trying to make the point that it was a good idea, which they have done in Vermont, to ban the purchase of a gun by people under 21 unless they have taken a hunter safety course. Oh, okay. And I'm in favor of hunter safety courses.
What about
but
a
not
cell
that...
phone safety course?
Yeah, exactly. How about a cell phone safety course? Why not? Seriously. But I'm just curious, your whole thought about this whole notion, we do this arbitrarily. Depending on your age, you let people drive, drink, vote, smoke, sign legal documents, and join the military. It's an arbitrary process, and yet you don't want five-year-olds drinking, so you need some kind of line.
Exactly. You know, I'm not really sure about that because you're absolutely right. We do seem to have this arbitrary thing that you can start driving when you're 16 or 17. Of course, it used to be, I think, back when I was starting, 14 or 15, when you could get your learner's permit or something in South Carolina. And then, of course, you have the draft age or the age that you can join the military at 18, but then you've got to be 21 to drink, and then you've got all this smoking regulations. And, yeah, I just don't know if this culture is ready for one age for to be the age of majority.
Yeah.
I mean, even for sexual relationships, there is the differing ages there. And when you can marry with parental consent is in the teen years. So,
I mean, you look at the whole notion of the Vulcan mind meld. Mr. Spock, if we could just clone Mr. Spock, he could just grab hold of everybody's head and he could determine you're mature enough, you're not mature enough. Exactly. We don't have that.
No, not likely to happen until, I guess, you know, somebody at IBM or Apple figures out a way to do that, to monitor the brainwaves.
Heaven forbid. And trust me, they're probably working on it as we speak. So anyway, but good stuff. I will hereby certify that I deem you old enough to do the news. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's quite all right. Lee Rogers right there at 9:09 on this Monday morning. And again, I just found it an interesting exercise. There are a few texters that are texting here about this subject. Let's see. I'm 28, and I have been listening to WORD since the Lewinsky scandal. So that would mean you started pretty young. I feel like I'm just getting a grounded idea of how things work in Washington as far as reading between the lines, which is, by the way, quite a skill. It amazes me that people who have only taken an interest in politics since 2009 want to make decisions for the country, or I guess I should say wanting us to take their opinion seriously. Yeah. I see what you mean. It amazes me at times as well. Of course, if you get too much into the inner workings of inside the Beltway, it'll just rot your brain. But I will tell you this: if you have spent a lot of time inside the Beltway and you can read certain news articles, let's say you read them. First with what the words actually are, and then if you know some of the people and the like, and I will admit it, yes, I have been to a few Georgetown cocktail parties in my life. It wasn't the best thing I ever did, but it did help me to be introduced to a lot of the worldview that is expressed there. And I mean, you have to be around these people to fully believe them. And having been there at these places, it does require some experience and some time to fully understand and appreciate the line of thinking. But I will give you a key rule to follow here regarding inside the Beltway thinking. They are smarter than you, okay? They are smarter than you, and it's a crying shame that you get to have a vote as big as theirs. Most of them will not ever say this. Certainly, if you're a public official and run for election, you will never admit that. But if we held them down and administered truth serum, they would be forced to admit that they just know so much better about running our lives than we do. And it would be so much better if we would just realize that and just shut up and let them run our lives. And for some reason, we just don't seem to go along with that. So anyway. Alan says, in New York, my daughter married at 18. She paid for her own wedding, could sign all contracts but one. She couldn't contract for the alcohol. Yeah. This is an interesting text here, which I think maybe it approaches the key to what we've been talking about. Forget using age for anything. Use provable benchmarks for maturity, like property ownership, not living with your parents, or a job paying taxes, and have disqualifying benchmarks like receiving government funds means you don't vote. Uh-huh. Well, I would note how practical that one is. Yeah, you're going to get that one passed, sure. The Democrats would disappear as a party. So, but anyway, I recognize what you're saying, and I'm not laughing at the notion. I'm laughing, I suppose, at the idea that anybody would seriously pay attention to that. Trust me on this, they would not. Anyway, it is arbitrary, and I think Lee Rogers had a pretty good point to make when he said, I'm not sure that our society is ready to have one age, one size fits all age of maturity. And again, I'll grant you that some of these things are different from others, the drinking versus smoking versus driving versus signing legal contracts and so on and so forth. But it does get confusing. And again, it is arbitrary. It is arbitrary. Let's see here. The 28-year-old here, I was very young when I took up politics. Can remember listening to Rush on my way home from gun shows in Greenville when I was 7 years or 8 years old. Thanks, Dad. LOL. Well, see, now, the left would consider you to have been abused as a child, okay? What? You let your son listen to Rush at the age of 7 or 8? What? There's no hope for the kid. Oh, here you go. Another texter. Must be 25 to watch CNN. Possibly. Yeah. Maybe the use of training wheels should be involved here on some of these things. Just some thoughts that I pass along. I merely noted it because this guy from Vermont and his cockamamie little bill to ban cell phone use or ownership under 21 does raise the issue. And it is an interesting issue, and we've hit it here pretty hard, and we'll move on to other things. But I just find it interesting to note that, in fact, much of what society does is arbitrary. And it's arbitrary by necessity. Again, the law has to say that you're 5 years old, you should not be drinking and smoking, okay? And so there has to be a line somewhere. And while I'll grant you that arbitrary is not wonderful, but sometimes arbitrary is the best we've got. So for what it's worth, we pass that along, and we'll sink our teeth into a few other things that are facing us today. We'll in particular, I think, delve more deeply into impeachment now that Nancy Pelosi has decided that she has gotten all that she could get in terms of extorting Mitch McConnell over on the Senate side, which is to say nothing. So if she's going to go ahead and send the articles over this week, well, bless your heart, Nancy, as we say down south. And that's not a compliment, Nancy. Okay? But anyway, this is Jim Bohannon for Terra on this Monday morning. And it looks from where I'm watching as though maybe it's not really raining that much, but it's certainly cloudy out there. Be careful.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, all righty then. It's 9:20 on this rainy Monday morning, the 13th of January. And just think, it'll be 53 weeks from today, a year plus a week, that there will be the next presidential inauguration, January 20th of 2021. And yeah, I'm betting it'll be Donald Trump as well. I don't want anyone to get overconfident about that. Certainly the idea that he can be beaten is a real idea. He can. His viewpoints and his policies may seem self-evident to us, but they don't to a lot of people. And an awful lot of people have been brainwashed into just automatically hating the man as vile, as evil, as racist, sexist, homophobic, Islamophobic. Pick the ist or phobic of your choice, and he's guilty of it. Whoever is the Democrats' nominee for president, they're going to get a lot of votes. All right? So just keep in mind and make sure your friends and your neighbors and good old Aunt Millie, everybody is all registered and then actually, in fact, casts a vote. Regarding Nancy and her releasing of these articles of impeachment, of sending them over to the Senate, she says that she always said she would send them over. That shouldn't be any mystery to that. You know, it was a mystery to a lot of us. It was never that clear to me that she was going to the withholding. In other words, she admitted that, I guess what she admitted there was that it's a ploy, which we all knew, but it's just nice to hear her say so, that it was a ploy from day one. Again, she has no business telling the Senate what to do. That much is clear in the Constitution. There's a lot in the Constitution that's not clear about this. Texter here says, considering how the articles of impeachment came about, are they even valid? I'd send them back and demand a fair process from the beginning. Well, they are valid. I mean, in terms of by valid, I mean constitutionally valid. Is there a real case there? No. The Constitution goes into some detail on a number of subjects. Impeachment was not one of the first things that they considered. It was almost an afterthought. It had been all summer in a hot, sweltering Philadelphia back in 1787. And they didn't have any air conditioning, right? No cable. I mean, it was a bummer. So they, I think, to a certain extent, just put together an impeachment clause or clauses in the Constitution, and then said, let's get out of town. But if you go through the Article 1 of the Constitution that goes through everything that the House can do, and the whole Section 2 is all about the House of Representatives, and you keep reading and reading and reading and reading and reading, you get to the very end, and the House of Representatives shall have the sole power of impeachment. Period. That's the end of their little litany of what the House does and who the House is. The House of Representatives shall have the sole power of impeachment. Then you go over to Section 3. The Senate shall have the sole power to try all impeachments. Now, they get a little more specific over here, and I'll just give you some of the specifics at 24 past 9 here. When sitting for that purpose, that is to say in a trial, they shall be on oath or affirmation. When the President of the United States is tried, the Chief Justice shall preside, and no person shall be convicted without the concurrence of two-thirds of the members present. Another interesting point, it's not just two-thirds of the whole body, which is 67, but let's say there were 90 senators present. There'll be more than that, but let's say there were 90 present. Two-thirds of that would be 60. So it's two-thirds of those present to convict. Judgment in the case of impeachment shall not extend further than to removal from office and disqualification to hold and enjoy any office of honor, trust, or profit under the U.S., but the party convicted shall nevertheless be liable and subject to indictment, trial, judgment, and punishment according to the law. So that's all that impeachment is about. But again, it leaves the impeaching part, the indicting part, strictly up to the House, and the trial solely up to the Senate. And that's their exact language. The Senate shall have the sole power to try all impeachments. Witnesses or not, that's up to the Senate. How they conduct it, up to the Senate. And so while I note that I was never happy with what the House did in terms of the lack of due process, but by the Constitution, due process is not required. I think it should be, and certainly fairness would so dictate, but in terms of what Adam Schiff and Jerry Nadler did. They did a lot of things that are bad in my book, but being unconstitutional, I don't think was one of them because the Constitution is so vague on the subject. So now the Senate will get their shot at it. They will get the articles of impeachment, and they can proceed from there. Could they just dismiss? I think that they absolutely could. And I am of two thoughts on that. I think that there is an argument to the president's contention and tweet that to go ahead with the whole process grants a certain amount of credibility to what the Democrats have done in the House. On the other hand, if you don't give it a full hearing, then you give the Democrats that cover-up word to use, and they'll certainly use it. And for those who don't pay a lot of attention, a lot of people will take that to heart. I think that it would be to the president's political advantage to illustrate exactly the lack of a case the Democrats have put forward and to do so with a trial that doesn't have to go on forever, but long enough to point out the vacuous nature of the House charges. There should be, I think, a trial. Otherwise, this whole thing is political anyway. Let's give the president the greatest opportunity to point out the absurdity of it all. So I think that's the smartest thing that the Republicans could do. Yeah, hold a trial. Don't arbitrarily dismiss. Hold the trial and point out to people who have to have it pointed out to them how utterly meaningless are these charges. So that would be my recommendation. But to the texter, considering how the articles of impeachment came about, are they even valid? Regrettably, yeah. They are valid constitutionally, but not, of course, in any real sense of the term. And of course, the notion of obstruction of Congress in and of itself, what is that supposed to mean? I've never heard that term ever used before, ever, certainly in terms of any other impeachment that has occurred. Obstruction of Congress? That one you could have to question the constitutional validity of it. What exactly is obstruction of Congress? Is there no such thing as executive privilege whatsoever? Well, no, the other side wouldn't say that, especially if they were talking about a Democrat in the Oval Office. So it's pretty much a meaningless point. Remember how disappointing this has all been for Democrats. First, they were going to beat Trump in the election. Well, that didn't seem to happen. Bah, Robert Mueller was going to save the day. The Mueller report was going to take the president down because of all that Trump campaign collusion with the Russians. Well, that didn't work out too well. Oh, that's okay. We'll get him on Ukraine. Well, that hasn't worked out so well either. What's a Democrat to do? This has been a tough one. As I said before, and I can't overemphasize this. This is not a particularly good time to be a Democrat. This has been a very disturbing time to be a Democrat. And the whole point of this process from the beginning, since Nancy Pelosi can count well enough, no, they weren't going to convict and remove the president from office because of his conviction in a Senate trial. It was to weaken him. It was to convince enough voters in places like Wisconsin and Michigan and Ohio and Pennsylvania, who voted for Trump last time, but they keep hearing all these bad things about him. So maybe they won't vote for him this time. Well, the only problem with that is that every poll I've seen, and last time I lost count at, I think, four different polls, showed that the president's support has gone up. And people opposed to impeachment, that's gone up. So their strategy hasn't even worked. So, you know, impeach away. Because every time you do, Donald Trump picks up more votes.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Jimbo for Tara this morning at 106.3 WORD. And goodness knows, look at that. We got a call here from Grandpa Ephraim. Well, hello, Grandpa.
Hey there, Jimbo. It's been a little while, hasn't it?
Well, it certainly has. I was wondering when you were going to call.
Well, I just thought I would comment on the lunacy of the left.
Okay.
Now, you think about this. You ask a liberal, when should somebody be able to drink? And they're going to say it's going to need to be 21. Can't let them drink before 21.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, when is it okay for somebody to go and get cigarettes and smoke. Well, that's got to be 21. You can't make that sort of decision younger than 21. And then all the rest, we've talked about all that this morning. But then you go and ask that same liberal when somebody ought to be able to vote, and they're going to say 16.
Or younger.
What kind of sense? Yeah, 16 or younger. Well, that just proves their cornbread ain't done in the middle.
Well, I'll tell you. And you know why they do? Because the young people tend to be more liberal in their outlook. Plus, they're immediately in the process of having been indoctrinated by our educational system, which in many cases is, not good.
And it just don't make no sense that they're ready to make that decision, but they're not ready to do all them other things.
True. Oh, that's true. You can't make a coherent case that should be the standard across the board. You're quite correct. But that doesn't matter to them because they're convinced they're right.
Well, I still say that cornbread ain't done in the middle.
I do believe that.
Have a good day, Jimbo.
Good day to you, Grandpa Ephraim. Thank you very much for your call. Yeah, and I suspect their cornbread is not done in the middle. Many of them, of course, have never even experienced the delights of cornbread. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Okay, 22 minutes before 10, and after the news at 10, of course, it's Vince Coakley time here at 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. I've been talking a moment ago about the impeachment article for obstructing Congress, and you recall Joe Biden, when it was posed to him maybe a congressional subpoena to appear at the Senate impeachment trial of President Trump? Biden, who, by the way, remains the odds-on favorite to be the Democrats' standard-bearer this coming November, scoffed at the very idea, no way. With this knee-jerk obstinacy illustrates or perhaps provides even more illumination of the patent farce that is this second article of impeachment passed by the House, of course, on that strict party-line vote, which Nancy Pelosi said would never be okay because impeachment must be a bipartisan process, except, of course, when it doesn't work out. So, as we saw in a committee hearing featuring the spectacle of staffers questioning staffers with no actual fact witnesses in sight, Democrats have no problem when Democrats blow off congressional demands for information. Obstruction is a one-way street. Now, to be clear, Congress has certain constitutional authority, broad in scope, to conduct oversight of the executive branch, and the president, with all the authority of a peer branch of government, has extensive privileges of confidentiality. They're rooted in Article 2 of your Constitution there, mainly when it comes to communications with his staff and the high executive officials. Congress is empowered to look into such agencies and on issues of presidential malfeasance or the activities of executive branch agencies that Congress has created. So, after all, these agencies are led by officers subject to Senate confirmation. Congress both underwrites them with taxpayer money and with limits on their operation by statute. So the president has legitimate authority to defy congressional demands, but that authority is not limitless. Fair enough. Now, I haven't made any mention of the courts here. Squabbles between the political branches are, by their very nature, political. The framers did not intend that they be resolved by the courts, who are people appointed, not elected, but to be resolved by accommodation, compromise, or even reprisals by the elected officials who answer to the public, and thus have a powerful motivation to, at some point, act reasonably. So, Democrats deceptively branded their investigation an impeachment inquiry. You may note that the president was largely unhappy with what the Democrats were doing because they had never actually conducted an authorization of such an inquiry, which was a nakedly political strategy, a nakedly political move, simply because there were nearly three dozen Democrats, 31 in fact in all, who hold seats in districts carried by Donald Trump in 2016, where impeachment is unpopular. If the Democrats were to lose all 31 of those seats, they would lose their majority. They would lose their chairmanships of committees. Nancy Pelosi would lose the extra $50,000 a year she makes for being Speaker of the House. So Democrats deceptively branded their investigation an impeachment inquiry. Well, actually conducting it under the ordinary oversight authority of six different committees. Intelligence and Judiciary led the way, but there were six committees involved there. And the president's strategy was sensible enough: deny cooperation at least until Democrats took a vote to approve the impeachment inquiry they claimed to be conducting. Well, they finally did that at the end of October. So this has been political wrangling. High profile, of course, but political nonetheless. It is not really fit for judicial intervention, seriously. The Constitution arms both political branches with arsenals to battle it out so that prudent judges often would back out when asked to intervene. But unfortunately, we've gotten a very litigious society these days. When in doubt, sue. And there are more than a few judges who are happy to jump in feet first in places where their black robes do not belong. So, we are looking at something in this second article of impeachment, the obstructing Congress, that is, it is a joke, a bad joke, but a sick joke. It is now 17 before 10 o'clock at 106.3 WORD, where the Ingalls Advantage talk line is 1-800-347-1063, 1-800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307, 71307. And the texter says that, let's see here, the reason we lowered the voting age was to match the draft age. If we lowered voting to 14 to 16, then we draft them at that age too, including females. Or we could not, either one. I mean, we wouldn't have to. Applying logic to these ages of acceptability is a pretty difficult exercise sometimes. Texter here says, Bloomberg says only law enforcement officers can have guns and shoot. I suppose he will take assault bats from the citizens next. Yes. Remember, we can't allow, I think a 5-day waiting period to buy a bat is probably somewhere on the horizon there. It doesn't make a lot of sense, no. Anyway, we will survive this all. We will survive the whole process of picking a president. And we will survive the process of deciding whether or not to keep one. And this one will be kept until at least the November election. We'll see after that. Then the public gets to have their say, which is where it should have been settled in the first place. Another texter says, I'm praying that Nancy gets lame-ducked in her primary. It probably is not going to happen. She pretty much owns that seat, the San Francisco-based congressional seat. But, again, that's been the basis for a lot of what we've seen. Democratic leadership scared to death of these new super left-wing insurgents. They're scared to death of them. I think it's kind of dumb that they should be, but, you know, it would be nice if they went beyond just survival and started looking at statesmanship, for example. But no, that's beyond them. That's beyond them.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Number of texters have checked in here this morning. And let's see here. Oh, we have a limerick alert. Going back to the days of the Clinton impeachment, a golden oldie from Alan R. in Spartanburg here. Here we go. Mr. President, you'll get a fair trial. I'll make sure, Carville said with a smile. You won't be convicted, he boldly predicted, looking up from some senator's file. Those mean old Republicans have done virtually... so far to read this here. Oh, here we go. Those mean old Republicans have done virtually everything under the sun to smear your good name, and I think it's a shame. By the way, Larry Flint's on line one. That was a good memory, yes. Here we go. The Democrats, says this texter, haven't impeached Donald Trump. They have impeached the entire presidential election process and the will of the American people, and that is true. And again, if you held them down and administered truth serum, they would admit that they are so sure that they're right and so dynamically, starkly right, as in correct, that you just can't be allowed to mess things up. They are really upset that you not only have the right to vote, but you actually use it. And above all, that you won last time. That particularly irritated them. And that's a problem for them. It is a form of arrogance carried to an extreme, and that's what's motivating this. You're right, though, Texter, in that this is about impeaching the entire presidential election process. You didn't give Hillary her turn, and therefore that invalidates your vote. That's amazing, but that's pretty much the viewpoint that we're talking about here. Texter says, my son is a senior in high school and is very excited to be able to vote for the first time, the very first time. He has affirmed and reaffirmed he'll vote for President Trump, loves God, his Bible, and the Second Amendment, listens to 106.3 whenever in the car. All right. Much appreciated there. Again, I'm sure that the left would say that your son is the victim of child abuse, but the rest of us would not. Let's see here. Obstruction of Congress, one texter notes, is not referenced in the constitutional charges, is not in the Constitution. The executive is not, as the texter correctly notes, subject to Congress, especially these hearings. And, of course, then there is abuse of power is not referenced in the constitutional charges either. It's interesting to note, yeah, what was included as well as what was not included. Again, The Democrats have pretty much slipped and slid around various aspects of this process to fit in what they think might actually stick. And that's been the basis. There's been nothing else that has been continuous or that you could even remotely call consistent in this whole process, except we'll find something to get him. And that was the basis of it. And when you have something as devoid of any kind of principle as this, then you're going to have some rather slipshod articles of impeachment. And they are. Any thoughts on the guy whom they got looking into the FISA process and the FISC court? He had been adamant about nothing wrong. In other words, nothing there to see. I don't know. I would like to hear more about that FISA process as well. It is very abundantly clear that somebody in the FBI lied to a federal judge to get that FISA warrant when they vouched for the veracity of the Steele dossier, when they knew that there was no veracity there. Now, if you or I lie to a federal judge when that judge is wearing the black robes, got the gavel on, and is acting as a federal judge, we're in trouble. And I would certainly hope that whoever did this also winds up in trouble, because they ought to be. Having said that, I hope that it doesn't stop there. I certainly hope it does not stop at just some underling who will be tossed under the bus and the whole inquiry then swept under the rug. That shouldn't happen. Because I'll tell you something right now, bureaucrats are not people who tend to be terribly rebellious, okay? They, as a group, are people who tend to do what they're told to do. And this notion of that many loose cannons all acting on their own doesn't jibe well with my experience with bureaucracies. And I would like to know how far up this whole thing went. And I would like to see names named, and I would like to see where necessary names named on indictments. It would be very helpful. It would be a good thing to get to the bottom of the effort to get that FISA warrant. It would be a terrible thing to get to the bottom of it only at the bottom, that is to say the first rung, the person who actually went before the court. Oh, they acted out of turn. Thank goodness their higher-ups didn't know. Well, I don't buy that. I don't buy it at all. So, again, I would like to see that fully cleared up as well. I regret that it appears that we're not going to see much about Hillary Clinton fully cleared up. That seems to have gone by the boards. The Clinton Foundation, arguably the biggest financial scandal in American history, and the emails, the uranium, the whole bit. I don't know where that's gone, but it's a bad situation. I've enjoyed it. I hope you have as well. This is Jim Bohannon in for Tara today at 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. The news is next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.